And we're here with Bud Bernstein, CEO of Law Publishers and MaineHR.com. And yeah, he's the host of the Maine HR Convention, the Maine Comp Summit, and the Strategic HR New England Conference, which will be in New Hampshire. Bud, welcome to the show.
David, I'm glad to be here today.
Good, good. And, you know, we've certainly done a lot of events together, gone to a lot of events. You do a great job, by the way. Your group is just fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. We've been at it for a bit.
Yeah, just a few years, right?
28 to be
just
precise.
Just 28 years, yes.
When HR was not called HR, human resources, it was personnel management.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that has changed over the years, that strategic role of HR. So, first of all, what's your opinion of the strategic role of HR today?
Well, I think it's misinterpreted in a lot of quarters. When I began work in the industry, when you talk about personnel management and what went on, companies would often say, oh, do you mean that girl in the back room who does payroll? Well, for the last 10 years, businesses have been integrating on a fairly regular basis a strategic role for HR, but it means different things to different people. I think if HR is truly strategic, it's playing this role. It is the bridge to all parts of an enterprise. It's the bridge between management and the shop floor. If HR is doing its role very well, they're not only involved in planning, but they're known as kind of the strategic and sometimes the ethical and moral voice of an organization.
Do you think that over the last few years that role has changed with a lot of corporate downsizings, with a lot of changes in the employment area? You know, do you think that that role has changed in the HR world?
Well, a piece of it has. Certainly, HR is viewed in many businesses and organizations now as playing a vital financial role. So people in HR really have to be on top of their game when it comes to understanding, as they call it, the metrics of situations. What is the cost to hire a new employee and train that person? What is the cost to let someone go? How do you brand yourself in this new world?
You know, it's interesting. Certainly, we do a lot of work with a lot of the employers around the area, and they tell us that HR is a critical role and a critical piece of their organization. Do you think there's a couple of tips or ideas that you've thought about over the last few years, we won't say how many, which you could give to a starting or new or maybe, you know, HR journalist that's starting in a position to help them kickstart their career?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do on an individual basis. I was thinking maybe initially of someone who's already started at a company. One of and playing off what I just mentioned about that branding role, companies have been big on branding their products and their services, but there's an HR brand that you can bring to the table. And it's key to align that HR brand with the company's brand. So, for example, if you're at a company that's working in the hospitality industry and their motto or their mission is to essentially roll out the red carpet for their guests, well, HR needs an aligned mission with that. You can't be treating your employees with less than red carpet treatment if that's the way you want to treat your guests, because your clients, your business associates, everyone will pick up on that if your brands aren't aligned.
You're talking about branding HR. There are a lot of SPHR, PHR designations that a lot of people are going after now. Mm-hmm. Are they important?
Yeah, I think they're very important. For starters, a lot of employers are actively seeking people who have those certifications for positions. It's not typically a disqualifier, and there are certainly tons of talented people out there who've been in the industry a long time who don't have those letters after their name. But it is a mark of distinction, and it's a pretty tough certification to achieve. It involves a lot of study, a lot of work, and a lot of updating.
Have you seen in your travels recently that companies want more of that SPHR and PHR in terms of the hiring practices?
I would say yes. I mean, I'm just back from, well, actually a few weeks ago, I'm just back from an event in Atlanta, the National SHRM Conference, that's Strategic was playing a very big part of that. So on a nationwide basis, very important. I think that's filtered down to Maine. I think you're going to see, as we have in Maine, that more and more people are seeking that designation. I believe there's something like 450 certified HR professionals in the state. So there are people who are certified sort of at a general level. That's called the PHR. The strategic level, which is the strategic level, and now there's even a global position because not just around the country, but in Maine, a lot of our companies are owned either affiliated as sisters or parent corporations overseas, and understanding global HR practices is an important part for a lot of people in HR now.
Not everybody gets to go to the National SHRM Conference, so if you could provide a little overview of what you learned, took away, or could, you know, provide that information out to the group, that would be great.
Well, we go with a couple of specific things in mind. Since we produce conferences here in New England and in Maine for HR, we go there looking for some of the best speakers in the country and trying to find ways to lure them to Maine. And if you're in Atlanta and it's June and it's really hot, it's not always a hard sell to tell people, how'd you like to be on the coast of Maine at the Samoset in May or the Mount Washington Hotel in New Hampshire in autumn? So we go there and we seek some of the best speakers. We also go to meet some of our business partners. David, you know, you and some of your associates attend those conferences from time to time. And we love that, and it's a chance for us to mingle and associate with them. We also spend a lot of time with our clients, the people in the HR community themselves. So, you know, for a little fun, we hosted a party for what started out as Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont and turned it into a 15-state affair. And we had folks from all over the country, and it's a chance to mix, mingle, learn what practices are in different states, what attitudes are in organizations towards HR in different states. They can be a little different than in Maine.
Well, you know, I was just going to ask, you know, do you see a big difference between the states? Do you see a big difference in attitudes and agendas and what's important? Because that would be really interesting to know.
Mm-hmm. People in the northern New England states are pretty open and welcoming, and that's the way you find them. When I've walked into HR boardrooms in other states, you see more agendas, more stern looks, more get right down to business, which is rather interesting because I think still Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont has some of the best work ethic in the country. They just approach things differently. It doesn't preclude a smile or a pat on the back. And, you know, after all, there's an H in human resources that means humans. So.
No, absolutely. And that's a big, important part of it because people are what make companies tick. And the attitudes and cultures that are developed by those people are the key elements.
And the nice thing is most CEOs and other members of the C-suite have recognized that for quite a while. And that's what's really enabled the role of HR to be enhanced and to evolve.
When you're talking about a strategic role of HR, what are a couple of the key areas that you think that HR should really be focusing on today in an organization from a strategic level?
Mm-hmm. The branding piece we already talked about, I think that's rather important. What that really translates into, you have a role in marketing your organization, its product, and its people. Technology, just a huge thing now. How do you integrate a seamless technology system that allows the flow of HR information throughout the organization from the top to the bottom? And then that finance piece that we touched on a little while ago, just being able to sit in a boardroom and with some confidence show folks that you understand balance sheets, profit and loss, and what the impact of HR decisions are on the company itself. So I think those three areas are probably the key focus points right now.
No, I would agree. I certainly think all three are critical. You know, we've over the last few weeks talked to a number of guests in terms of strategic HR, and one of the things they've all said is that you have to not only have a seat at the table, but have a clear understanding of the entire organization from soup to nuts, mm-hmm. so that you can be a real partner in that discussion.
Right. And, you know, that's what the best CEOs do. They walk the shop floors. They wear many hats. I've seen it in many companies in Maine where a CEO will regularly he or she will have a beat, and you know, they may chat with the janitors one day and with the high-tech people the next day, but they're sitting in and understanding, what do they do on a day-to-day basis? What do they need? What resources do they need? What skills do they need to evolve, and where, what areas would additional training benefit the company and the individuals?
You talked to a number of HR people about hiring, and certainly about what they're looking for out there in terms of the organization and the talent pool. What are they telling you from a trend positioning in terms of this time of year, in terms of what's going on with the overall climate, you know, the economy and all that? What are you hearing on the ground level?
I'm hearing mixed things. I'm hearing most people are staying stable or looking to hire, and that often, strangely enough, the difficult situation is there are positions open, but there isn't the quote-unquote talented person or the person with the skill set to do it. So I think that more often than not is a problem in Maine than people realize. There are unfilled positions, essentially.
Do you hear that from others across other states, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts?
I hear it a bit, but not quite so much as I do in Maine.
Okay.
And I think some of that relates to things that HR could do in terms of working with community resources. So a key role for HR, I believe, is to be connected to the educational system in your community. And that can often start right at the elementary school level, but certainly working its way up to technical colleges and university and other forms of education. Boy, that's critical. You may not feel the impact right away for you or your business, but you're helping develop that pool of talent that will help your company and others in the neighborhood thrive.
A lot of the groups in Maine, that SHRM groups, whether it be the Southern Maine, the Central Maine, the Mid-Coast, the, you know, there's all types of groups throughout the state. And certainly you travel a lot of them as you're talking about the conferences that go along. Tell me a little bit about those groups, why they're important, why you think that they're a good group to belong to. Because, you know, companies in tight budgets sometimes say, oh, I don't know if we can send that person to that group for that, you know, hour or 2 hours. It's out of our time. You know, we may or may not pay for it. So give me your perspective on that.
Well, I would say that would be a shame if anyone couldn't send folks. And often you find members of these various groups, the Society for Human Resource Management and their local chapters, that people do pay out of their own pocket to attend, even the lunch and breakfast meeting. There's just so much to gain by participation, not just personal growth, but contacts you make. If you're a large company, wow, you know, you should be at these events because that's where the talent pool in HR is. If you've got a 30-person HR department, you ought to be at the conferences and the meetings because those might be your former or business associates of the future. If you're a smaller organization, you can just pick up on so many great best practices and tips that people have, you know, available at their disposal. You know, you may not know all the complexities of the FMLA. You may have an associate sitting across the table from you at lunch and say, hey, here's a simple chart you can follow that'll help you blend and merge the various requirements of family leave in Maine. Because you, as you know, David, you have the federal FMLA and the local FMLA, and then I think 6 or 7 other leave laws that, you know, pertain to specific possibilities, whether it's veterans or domestic abuse victims and the like. So there's just so much to be gained by going to these meetings just one-on-one.
We have a new conference coming up that you're going to be hosting. This is certainly an exciting area because certainly this is a strategic conference, which is what we're talking about today. It's a retreat for HR decision makers. It's on October 20th through 30th this year, and it's going to be up at the beautiful Mount Washington Hotel.
What an amazing place that is. The Omni Hotel chain worked on this property about 6 years ago and put a ton of money into it, and they've restored it to its grand Italianate origins. You walk in and it just takes you away. But to that, they've added this world-class conference center with all the modern technology. So you got this wonderful blend of the new and the old. As you probably know, much of what we understand in the world of finance today evolved out of there at the end of World War II at the Bretton Woods Woods Conference and Treaty when the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund were created at tables right in that room. So it's
amazing.
It's a great
history there is
that,
fantastic. Yeah. And just so everybody knows, if they go to strategichrne.com, which is strategichrneWengland.com, tell me a little bit about the conference, what you're trying to achieve there, what are the goals.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, we produce, as you know, the state conference in Maine, which is HR for everyone and 4 days of learning and fun. This is a little more narrow and focused. We're looking to bring in HR executives, strategic thinkers, top leaders from larger companies around New England, and we're trying to give them an experiential program. So instead of speakers just talking to them and people taking notes, the folks attending the conference are essentially told, hey, you're going to really be part of the program faculty as well. So keynoter Ryan Estes or Ann Rhodes and others who will be there will do their big stage piece, and they're quite exciting at it. But they'll also then devolve from that and take projects and problems and ask the audience to break up and spend a few hours or even a day or so solving them and coming back with their answers or suggestions or templates.
Now, that's going to be exciting because you can use real life, real world situations, and people can go and learn how to solve these problems rather than just hearing a speaker talk about them.
Right, exactly. Ann Rhodes, perfect example. She's written a book, she's knowledgeable, she's brilliant, and she's funny. But more important, she was the top HR leader at Southwest Airlines and JetBlue and a couple other chains, and she has just some amazing experiences and abilities as a result of that to share, and then people can sort of pick up on her ideas and her experience and go with it.
You're obviously looking at this to be a dynamic HR conference. Tell me some of the aspects of the conference that you're really excited about.
Well, it's HR, so it's mostly the people. I mean, I adore Ann Rhodes. She's great. Ryan Estes, who I think you've interviewed or will be interviewing.
Will be interviewing. So he's coming up a little later.
Ryan is very well known in national circles, both for his understanding of HR technology and branding. We have a gentleman coming from Chicago, Ravin Jesuthasan, with Towers Watson, who has written the book called Transformational HR. And it sounds a little complex when you read the book, but he translates things beautifully. He talks about segmentation in HR in a way that I really didn't know about it. Nilufer Merchant is coming in from San Diego. Just a brilliant woman. I suggest everyone search out Nilufer Merchant on the web or through social media. Somehow she's going to talk about things as diverse as the Arab Spring uprising and impressionistic art, and somehow tie it into HR leadership. And she could pretty much pull anything together in a way that just keeps you on the edge of your seat. And so you can find a lot of her clips out on the web. So I think it's the people. I think it's the setting that makes this particularly exciting. And I think it's the collaborative aspect as well. That's what HR is also about, is collaboration within our organization. We're working with state councils across New England and all their boards and all their chapters. And it's just very interesting and exciting to pool all that talent. It's like, ooh, how do you do something that everyone buys into and everyone likes and agrees to?
Now, this is going to be an exciting conference. And certainly CMA is one of the sponsors, and we're excited to be there. And I think this will definitely be a little bit different than the usual conferences that we see out there, and that's what makes it so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have other conferences that you do throughout the year, and I know coming up will be the Comp Summit. So if you want to talk a little bit about what that is.
Oh, sure. The Comp Summit is actually the Workers' Comp Summit in Maine, and we are celebrating its 20th year. We'll be at the Samoset Resort August 26th to 28th on that, and very opportune time because, as you know, the legislature amended significant parts of the Workers' Comp Act this year. So, again, this is a conference that's meant to be collaborative in nature, so you're going to see people as diverse as employee councils and employer councils, the insurance industry, the Workers' Comp Board, occupational health provider, and, of course, employers and the human resource community there, all with different angles, different perspectives, perspectives on what the system is, what the grand historical bargain on workers' comp is, what's good and fair for employees, but also good and fair for the business community and the business climate. So that's a little bit about what we'll be doing there.
Sure, and that's coming right up here on August 26th through 28th. And so, you know, certainly if somebody's interested in that, they should go to the maincompsummit.com and make sure that they sign up for that. So that's great. You know, I know you do the Maine HR conference every year, and you just do a fantastic job. And we had, of course, another great turnout this year, sold out, as always.
Yeah.
And it's just fantastic.
Yeah. 831 is kind of our firstborn child. Yeah. You know, you don't want to play favorites, but.
No, I understand that. But, you know, you're already getting ready for next year. You know, you're already getting ready for the new conference.
Yeah, we go right into focus groups as soon as one conference is done, because that's where you get your information. You know, people are excited about something that happened, but if you don't know they were excited, or conversely, if you don't know they were rattled by something, then, you know, how are you going to improve upon things? And it's best to get that information early on. So, yeah, we'll be in intense focus groups this summer to determine what's the theme for next year's conference, what kind of speakers do you want. Yeah, do you want chicken or fish? Well, whatever.
Well, those are the very important questions. Especially anybody that knows me would know that that's a very important part of any convention. So, no, great. I mean, 831 attendees last year. That's fantastic. It's just a great group.
Yeah, and
of
not just even though it was the main event, it's actually developed a national reputation in part because the people that go there buy into it and they're enthused and excited. So we had folks from, I believe, 18 states last year, and the gentleman from Serbia and a gentleman from Switzerland came.
I met the gentleman from Serbia. He was a trip.
Boris Popov. Isn't he fabulous?
He was. What a great guy. And enthusiastic, and the energy level was tremendous.
As you know, Serbia has undergone transition from a society that was communist-based or socialist-based to a free market enterprise. And he's one of the movers and shakers and integrating HR into the new economy and the new business model there. It's a slow process, but he was really energized and excited about this. And each year going forward, I think we're going to try to find another one or two people from overseas to come in. Not only because they might benefit a little bit, but it is exciting for a Maine audience that may not travel as much to national conferences to see people from overseas. So.
No, that's great. Now, your organization has grown a little. I know you've added another person on staff. You know, that's fantastic.
Oh, I work with some of the best people in the world. Do I get to mention their names?
You do? Of course you do. Tell
Heather
them.
Heather Bassett, who you know just intimately is our marketing person, and she just lights up a room. She doesn't explain a product or service in a way that overstates its value, or if she doesn't think it's a good fit for someone, she's not going to push it on them. Yeah, and Becky Thompson came back to work for us. She was our office manager 20 years ago for a 10-year stretch, and when my current office manager retired, I somehow lured her away from the Attorney General's office, and she's back in the fold and just having a grand old time. And then, I don't know, they're not our employees, but we work with hundreds of HR professionals around the state in various volunteer capacities and other associations, and of course with some of the great businesses that provide services to the HR community. So in a sense, we've built not just an employee network, but kind of a family network.
No, and it does feel that way. Bud, thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate all your information.
Anytime, David.
And here's the tip of the week. Conducting an interview properly and asking the right questions can improve your chances of selecting the right person for the job. A productive interview should clearly allow you to assess the candidate's behavioral traits, qualifications, strengths, and weaknesses, and determine if the applicant would fit into your company culture. Remember to draft interview questions in advance and create an evaluation form. Prepare the form in advance that lists the planned questions. This will provide a similar interview format if you have multiple interviews and will help you compare multiple candidates. Catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 AM or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.